right, so I have the privilege to introduce an amazing, loving, compassionate, wonderful man of God in this house. He is our youth pastor. He has such a heart for our youth, and he just is so amazing how he just is able to relate to them and love on them and just encourage them. And we just honor you, Pastor B. So without further ado, Pastor B is I'm sure he has an amazing word for all of us.
What's going on, everybody? I'm surprised my young people didn't get into it. Like, they be getting me into it. Like, take that. I mean, I'm like, okay, I see y'all. Y'all getting it. Amen. Well, thank you for the introduction, Crystal. I mean, it's a privilege and a joy to be before you. If you didn't catch that, I'm Pastor B, B. King Mosley. I have the awesome privilege of being the youth pastor of this fine church, and it's a joy. It's a privilege. And before I get started in word, worship. If you were in worship this morning, it's almost like I give you permission to just go ahead and go to Popeyes and get your chicken sandwich before they run out. I mean, worship just sets the atmosphere for God to just have his way in this church. Amen. And there's literally nothing more I could say when worship hits like a bomb in our hearts that causes us to recognize who God is and what God says about us. And when we realize that and catch hold of that and realize that what God says about us is what defines us and we find our identity in that, there's nothing that can stop us. There's nothing that can stop us. I want to just take this time and just thank our pastor, Pastor Shayna Hurd, who isn't here today. She's actually filling in at another church and gave me this privilege to be before, even though it's Fifth Sunday. But even a couple of weeks ago, I had a surgery, an appendectomy, and she was worried about me, like, are you sure you're going to be able to preach? Because if you're not ready for it, I'll fill in. You know, I know I got another assignment, but, and I'm like, no, I'll be all right. I'll be all right. Just maybe not be able to fall and jump around like I'm used to, but I'll be all right. I got this through the Lord. Amen. And isn't it wonderful that the body of Christ isn't just Rohi Christian Church? That the body of Christ sometimes needs to break out and heal the body of Christ amongst all the nations. That Christ's love isn't just here, but he wants us to spread out and go to other places that need healing, that need inspiration. You know, even Paul himself went out to plant churches and encourage churches and go out. We wouldn't have all these churches if folks didn't go out and minister the word of God to where people needed it, where people were hurting. Amen. So I want to thank her for the privilege. I want to thank my family. Actually, only one of them is here today. There's like six of us and only one of them is here. But, I mean, just the commitment that they give to me to be able to do what I do for Christ, it's amazing. But they know how much I encourage them, and I'm in their corner. I'm their biggest cheerleader. I'm their coach. I am their cheerleader. I am their encourager, but I love it when they encourage me and give me the freedom to, even though I give so much to them, at least I think I do, they allow me freedom to just be me and act goofy when I choose to, and it doesn't embarrass them only a little bit. And and just the freedom that they give me to just, again, do what I get to do for God. And I appreciate my daughter, Brielle. That's my baby, even though she's not a baby anymore. She's like almost 6 feet tall. And you know, but again, she's the only one that's here. And it's because our family gets split up. Like, you know, we got one playing soccer. We got two adults already in the world. And they doing anything. But, man, it's God has blessed me with an amazing family, an amazing support system, an amazing wife. And I absolutely cannot do this without their support, without their love, without their understanding, without their compassion. I mean, I just couldn't do it. And so I want to thank them before I even get started. So today, how many of you have been having a good time in that Rooted in Christ series? I mean, that's been phenomenal and amazing. And as amazing as it is, Pastor gave me the option to continue in it. And I was like, no, you got that. So if y'all were looking forward to continuing in Rooted in Christ series, I gotta wait next week. Pastor Shayna will continue next week. But if you were excited and you were looking forward to it, just give me a, aww. But I tell you what, if it makes you feel better, there's a tree in the story. There is a tree in the story, so. So if you have your Bible or electronic devices, let's go ahead and get started. Let's go ahead and turn into Luke 19, 1 through 10. And if you happen to have a different translation other than the New King James Version, the words will appear up here on the screen so that we could all read in unison. So if you're physically able to stand, let us stand out of reverence for the transforming word of God. And we're going to be in Luke 19, 1 through 10. But first, let us declare our Bible affirmation. Amen. Are we ready? Let's lift those Bibles high up in the air. Wave them like we just don't care. And let's go ahead and get it. This is my Bible. It is God speaking to me. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. So I open my heart today to hear God speak a word that will change my life forever. Now let's go ahead and read Luke 19, 1 through 10 together. It starts off and says, then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he is gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And Heavenly Father, as we partake in your word, we thank you first and foremost for your presence and being here, Lord God, to meet us, Lord God. We're here, Lord God, to just hear a word that comes straight from the throne room, Lord. Set me aside, Lord God, that your word, Lord God, would penetrate hearts, Lord God, would just renew spirits, Lord God, would just come, Lord God, and just cause us to see our identity in you, Lord God. We thank you in advance for what you're going to do in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Kids, now that we're back in school, we're a few weeks in. How many of y'all are digging y'all homework? Nobody, no takers, huh? No takers, like, homework. I ain't put my hand. I'm going to actually put it in my pocket. You know, we ain't trying to fill homework. All right, parents, I got a question for you. How many of you have had to face the challenge of going over your kids' math homework? I'm actually good at math, but when my kids come to me, and I got a junior hire and a high schooler, and sometimes I'm like, oof, that must be that new math. And it takes me a while to just wreck the mental Rolodex as to, I don't remember that. I either don't remember, but I know, like, wait a minute, I got pretty high. I was in calculus, so I know. I got pretty high, but it's been a while since I've been in junior high and high school, so I got an excuse. Sometimes, but what I do know, though, when I don't see the answer, as my wife liked to say, he's Rain Man, he should know, pop it off, boom, boom, boom. When I don't see the answer come to me, at least I'm smart enough to know I can go to the back of the book and get the answer, right? And sometimes I just got to get a jump start to, if I see the answer, maybe I could work my way backwards to figure out how they came up with the solution to the problem, right? However, parents, in that moment, don't we sometimes feel like, you know what? At least you got an answer to every problem. It might not be right, but at least you got an answer, so that's good enough for me. Sometimes you just get stuck. Sometimes their answer might be more profound than mine. At least they got an answer. But now, like I said, sometimes we got to just see the answer and then work our way back. And but yet, we can't just have our kids have a problem, then an answer. It don't necessarily work like that. Sometimes, you know, like they used to tell us, show your work. Or as in, especially Bailey, do the math. That's her new thing. Do the math. You know, like everything is do the math. And so we have to show our work. We have to show, well, how did we come to the solution? And so this morning, I'm going to the best of my ability, we're going to start at the end of this passage in mind. And if we now have the answer, let's get an understanding to figure out and overcome the problem. Again, how did we get here? So I'm going to start in verse 9, where Jesus says to Zacchaeus, today salvation has come to this house because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. See, the account of Zacchaeus is to remind us who we are in Christ. See, we are one of those stars that Abraham looked up into and God accounted as his descendants. We are the sons and the daughters that the Lord Jesus Christ died for on the cross, that he was buried for 3 days, that he rose for and ascended to the Father and sent back his Holy Spirit too. That's who we are. It was to find us while we were lost, because none of us were born saved. We were born again saved. But he had to find us, because Jesus wasn't lost. We were lost. Let's get that straight. He had to find us while we were lost so that we would receive salvation, that we would receive restoration and all the things that belong to us as a child of God. But guess what? It's not just for us individually. It's for us to go out, because somebody else needs that same revelation that we had. Our need for Christ, our need for a Savior, our need for restoration, our need for rehabilitation. We need that. Other people need that as well. And so that's because this real encounter with the Lord, it changes us and encourages us to serve him in his church now and go tell the world about what the Lord Jesus has done in our lives. Sounds familiar, huh? Real change now. Go. Sounds familiar, don't it? So you see, today, salvation has come to this house. See, we're not talking about the house. We're talking about this house. See, in 1 Corinthians 6:19, or do you not know that your body is a temple or a house of the Holy Spirit who is in you? See, wherever we go, we are the temple, again, or the house of the Holy Spirit who is in us. See, the spiritual change in us changes the atmosphere around us, and it affects our house, which is our family. It affects our schoolhouse, our teachers, our classmates, the staff. See, it affects, for us adults, our workhouse. It affects our coworkers, our bosses, our customers and clients. We should be changing the atmosphere and affecting everybody around us. And what about our playhouse? That too. No matter who we find, no matter who we encounter, even in our leisure time, they should be affected by the very presence of God that flows through us, because we are the house of the Holy Spirit. See, I want to remind you, and I want you to remind yourself, tell yourself, I am a child of God. I am blessed and highly favored. See, I say remind yourself because the challenges of everyday life is that circumstances and situations wants to rear its ugly head and cause us to focus on what we can't do as opposed to what a child of God believe in Philippians 4:13 that says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. See, or what about when we focus on what we don't have as opposed to a child of God standing on God's word in Philippians 4:19, trusting that, and my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. Mm-hmm. Or how about when, like me, a couple weeks ago, I didn't feel good, but I had the sense enough to know that I'm a child of God, so I'm praying Isaiah 53:4-5, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes I am healed. So you see, that's what a child of God believes. And the thing is, these are not my words. I'm here just to show and tell you this is the Lord, and this is what he says. But this is what he says you are. This is what he says we are. See, in Numbers 23:19, it says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do? Or has he spoken, and will he not make good? Also, in Romans 8:31, I'll ask you this scriptural question. See, it starts off and says, what then shall we say to these things? I got an answer for you. If God is for us, who can be against us? And then to skip down to 8:37, yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. How many of us believe that this morning? So you see, instead of feeling defeated, we get to choose to live this life of victory. Which brings me to the title of this message, You Can't Stop Me. I say it again. You can't stop me from believing what I believe about Christ, for believing what I believe that he believes about me. You can't stop me. And if I had a subtitle, which I do have, is don't let opposition prevent you from receiving what God has for you. Because there's always something that's trying to get in the way. Whether it's the enemy, whether it's this, whether it's that, something's always trying to get in the way of making us feel that we truly are a child of God. But I'll say it again. Don't let opposition prevent you from receiving what God has for you. See, opposition is defined as this. The action of opposing, resisting, or combating can also be represented by anyone or anything that is in the way of you in your goal, or in this case, you and the promise of God. See, in Luke 9-10, going back, it says, salvation has come to this house. And I'll receive that, that salvation belongs to me. But I got to receive that. I can't let anything prevent me from receiving salvation. I'm not going to let anyone or anything get in my way of receiving what God has for me, of pursuing this relationship that I have with Christ. Nothing's going to stop me. You can't stop me. I want what God has for me. I want it all. I want everything that he has for me. I hope that's our prayer this morning. So again, I purposely started at the end of the passage in verse 9, showing you that Zacchaeus received salvation, restoration, the blessings of Abraham, and all that belonged to him as a child of God. But it wasn't without opposition. See, it didn't come easy. It took some persistence. It took some perseverance. And even though Zacchaeus overcame the obstacles to receive what the Lord had for him, I want you to catch this. Zacchaeus identified the source of his answer was Jesus. Why do I say that? Look in verse 1 through 3. It says, then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. In verse 2, it says, now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was. And he sought to see who Jesus was. And he sought to see who Jesus was. So he knew he had to seek out to see for himself who Jesus was. He knew that Jesus was the answer. He knew he was the source to the answer. So it was him who decided, I must seek out and find Jesus. Wherever he is, I'm going to find Jesus. I'm going. I got to do whatever it is I got to do to find Jesus, to get to him. You see, do you think that Zacchaeus may have heard stories of Jesus of Nazareth? Who's that one man that preached and taught and a bunch of folks got saved and baptized? That was Jesus. Did you hear the one about the man who was blind and now he sees now? Jesus did that. Who's this Jesus guy? Do you not think he heard stories of all the miracles, the crippled folks that were getting up? Hey, man, I remember you when you were a crippled beggar. And now the crippled beggar is before him. Do you not think that he's heard stories or even heard the testimonies of the very people that he saw in the streets that was like, wait a minute, I remember you when you were down there. I remember you when you couldn't see. What happened? Jesus. He spit in the ground. He rubbed muddy spit into my eyes. Like, that's crazy, but yet, hey, he was blind and now he sees. So Zacchaeus, he had to have heard. He had to have witnessed some testimonies that caused him to want to go to find Jesus and seek him out. See, we got to remember, he was already rich. The story says he was rich. So he wasn't seeking him for financial blessings. There was something missing in his life. He was a tax collector. And not only was he a tax collector, he was a chief tax collector. See, the thing is that tax collectors were despised back then. Actually, they might be despised here in this day and age, too. Mr. IRS coming after my monies. Don't you hate it when you got to pay at the end of the year? Don't we pay enough, like, during the year? Then all of a sudden, we do your taxes, and then it's like, you owe. Like, what? Come again? Like, how? Why? Tax collector ain't my friend. Actually, mine is. I got a good one, so anyway. So anyway, the tax collectors were despised and actually thought of as traitors in the eyes of most of the Jewish people because they directly worked for the Roman Empire. See, and often, not only did they collect taxes, they often were known to take a little for themselves. And so how do you think people perceived them that he was rich? Yeah, you rich, all right. Rich on cheating off of me. My hard-earned money, you're going to rob me. So can you think and imagine, like, what the perception of the people had against tax collectors? They hated them. But check this out. Let's look at Luke 18, 10 through 11. And this is the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. See, it says, two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even is here tax collector. But check this out. Even Jesus recognized how hated the tax collectors were and made an example just to drive home a point. See, in Matthew 18, 15 through 17, in the story of dealing with the sinning brother, it says, moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. And tell him his fault. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. But if he will not hear you, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector. So even Jesus busted out tax collectors. Can you tell that other people's perception of a tax collector was one of negativity? Yet despite what other people thought, let's take a look at what Jesus did. See, in Matthew 9:9, it says, as Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me, he told him, and Matthew got up and followed him. Now, you see, Jesus chose Matthew, who was a tax collector, to be his disciple. Wait, it didn't say that. Hold on. Okay, you don't believe me, because in order to be a Jesus' disciple, he had to have completed all of OSL. Got to come to all the prayer meetings. Got to serve. Be in a worship team. Do the slides at least. Something. Got to greet and teach in the back. There's something that comes with the weight of being a disciple. We got to be holier than now. Know the Bible from cover to cover. Like all this stuff, right? Not to mention, he wasn't even working the booth. Maybe he was getting his taxes done. That's the story. I'll stick with that. He was getting his taxes done. Okay, well, let's look and see this in Matthew 10, 1 through 4. Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First Simon, who was called Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas, and Matthew the tax collector. Wait, hold on. And Matthew the tax collector. James, son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Jude. Wait a minute. How come Matthew's the only one who had his occupation tied to it? It didn't say, like, such and such the physician and such the fisherman and such this, and he did this, and he was the work-at-home guy, and he was the carpenter. None of them had a title of their occupation other than Matthew, the tax collector. Why is that? Because they were so despised, but we have to see that there's many people that despise us, but yet God calls us. See, we didn't do something that's oh so high and mighty that we deserve to get called by Christ. We too were that filthy, ignorant, cheating, lying, stealing tax collector that everybody hated. But yet Jesus called us. However, could it be that regardless of what other people thought of all tax collectors, is it possible that Matthew and Zacchaeus' character was one of the tax collector mentioned in the parable? See, the one that in Luke 18 was standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. See, I tell you the truth. I tell you this, man. The tax collector went down to his house justified. See, these are Jesus' words. You see, other folks only saw him as a tax collector, just as they may see you as so messed up that you don't deserve the grace and mercy of God. And in actuality, they would be right, because nobody deserves it and nobody can earn it. But when we ask for God's mercy and declare, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior, and we ask Jesus Christ to be Lord of our lives, God sees us as justified. He sees us as a child of God. He sees us as his own. We belong to Christ. And regardless of what anyone else other than God thinks, check this out. Even Zacchaeus' name means pure and innocent. The pure and innocent tax collector, doesn't oxymoron, doesn't even make sense. But do you think he was perceived that way by other people? And so, like Zacchaeus, we get to choose who we will believe, whether it's what other people think about us or what does God think about us. But I'll remind you, don't let other people prevent you from receiving what God has for you. So when other people's perception, what they think of you, doesn't align itself up and confirm God's perception of you, we got a dilemma. I say you might have to channel your inner rock and be like, it doesn't matter what you think. But guess what? Sometimes we might have to say that to ourselves. Because sometimes we could be our worst enemy. We could have such a negative stigma against ourselves that I can't do this and I can't do this and woe is me and when is it going to get better? We could be our own worst enemy. We sometimes got to prophesy that to ourselves. Stop. What does God say about me? I know I feel a certain way, but what does God say about me? I got to align my thinking to what God thinks about me. And so even though we may be so focused on people, don't let yourself prevent you from what God has for you. That negative view of ourselves. We ourselves, again, could be that very opposition that prevents us from receiving what God has for us. And so I'm going to go to Luke 19, 1 through 3. It says, then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because, pause. And sometimes we could be right there. We could have the excuse, we could not because, fill in the blank, and we stop. And we don't seek after him anymore. For whatever the reason, it doesn't matter. Our life is on pause. Whether we have the excuse like Zacchaeus, I'm too short, the crowd's in the way, it's an excuse. It's this or is that. Guess what? They're both excuses. All too often, we let opposition or excuses or why we can't cause us to stop trying, and then we quit. And in turn, what does that do? We prevent ourselves. I said we prevent ourselves from receiving what God has for you. I got an example. Brielle, come here. Anybody been at a game or a concert ever? Any games, concerts? So, isn't this usual? Like, you know, the game starts off or the concert starts off and everybody's seating, you know, and then next thing you know, some hype happens and it's. What happens to the person in back of me? She can't see. So what does she have to do? She has to change her view. So that means she has to stand up or teeter or go back and forth. So if she stands up, she can now see. But what happens when it gets real electric? Yeah, yeah, yeah. It gets real electric. So what does she have to do? She has to change her view again, whether it's Bob, Weave. Bob, Weave, or go up in the tree. She got to do what she got to do. Just like Zacchaeus, I'm short, and y'all are in the way.
Go ahead, thank you.
Y'all are in the way. But I got to climb up into that tree. Just to see Jesus. I got to do what I got to do. I got to change my view. See, we need to take a play. We need to take a page out of his playbook. See, he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of his stature. So what did he do? He ran ahead and climbed up into the sycamore tree to see him. Again, he did what he had to do. He had to change his view. All I wanted to do was to come see Jesus, but I can't because I'm too short, and I can't because they're blocking my view. But that was an excuse, but he didn't let the excuse stop him. He didn't let the excuse prevent him from what God had for him. See, what God had for him, he remember, he was the source. He understood that Jesus was the source. So in order to get to the answer, he had to get to the source. And so he didn't let the excuse stop him. Now, again, he changed his view. I love y'all. Let me say that before I say what I'm going to say. I love all y'all. Love all y'all. Now, again, I'm so glad y'all are here today. I'm so glad y'all came to see little old me. But I hope I'm not the reason that you're here. Why do I say that? Because even though it's encouraging to me, I pray the reason that you're here is to see Jesus, not me. See, my prayer is that you would come to encounter Jesus no matter who's preaching or teaching. That you would encounter worship no matter who's singing or playing. That you are coming to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and not be king. See, remember, I want to be a king. I'm not the king. My prayer is for you to change your view. Don't look at the man. Don't look at the woman. Look to Jesus. Pastor Shana would say the same thing. Don't look to me. Look to him. I'm not your source. He's the source. I'm going to cause you to change your view. Yes, we have Christ in us, but we are not him. We have the ability to point you back to him, though. That's our job. That's our job. That's why I keep showing you scripture, because it's his word. That's why I keep telling you, hey, change your view. It's about him, not us. And so again, Zacchaeus demonstrated, don't give up. Just change your view and go to where God is. Let your persistence overcome the resistance, because God wants to speak to you directly. Why do I say that? Look at Luke 19 and 5. It says, when Jesus came to the place and he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. See, Zacchaeus just wanted to see him. Jesus saw him all right, but not only did he see him, he spoke to him directly. He spoke to him directly and met with him and got before him in an intimate place in his house. Would that had happened? Has Zacchaeus just, I'm just a wee little man. Nope, he was that wee little man who got up in the tree and saw Jesus. And he did what he had to do. He had to change his view. So now if Zacchaeus would have given up, this encounter with Jesus wouldn't have taken place. See, just what, like we talked about earlier, there would be no blessings. There would be no salvation and all the stuff we talked about in the beginning. So, again, I'll say it. Don't prevent yourself from receiving what God has for you. So with that, I'm going to prepare to close. But I want to close on 19:7 and then in 8, because I got to see you, I got to show you to your word. It says, but when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he, meaning Jesus, has gone to be a guest with the man who is a sinner. Somebody say, haters gon' hate. People. It is what it is, y'all. You're trying to get with Jesus, and folks are hating on you. Let it go. You're with the king. See, then Zacchaeus stood in verse 8. It says, he stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. This I found pretty profound. Check this out. Wouldn't he have known that he cheated someone out of their money? And that he was willing to stand by his integrity and pay anyone four times the amount, even if they falsely accused him, even if they lied to him or lied about him. He was willing to pay, but standing by his integrity. But no matter what other people thought of Zacchaeus, the chief tax collector, could it be that he, to the best of his ability, attempted to live up to the character of his name, meaning innocent and pure? He may have attempted, but no matter how hard we try, even on our best day, we're filthy rags. But because of Christ as Lord, we are who he says we are. We are pure. We are innocent because we're cleansed of the blood of Christ. That's who we are. And that's why whether we recognize that the opposition being, whether it's you, ourselves, or you, not pointing, but you or other people around us, make this declaration. You can't stop me. I want you to say it to yourself. You can't stop me. See, you can't stop me from receiving what God has for me. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Go ahead and stand to your feet. First and foremost, God be praised. God get the glory. God get the honor. Is there anyone that heard this message in salvation, restoration, words like that just over your head? I know I have some young people here, but sometimes it's over your head. But I want to come to the simple terms of just, have you made Christ Savior? Have you asked him into your heart? Have you asked him to be Lord? Have we recognized, just like that tax collector, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. However, I recognized that, Lord, Jesus, you died on the cross for the forgiveness of my sin. But not only did you die and were buried for 3 days, you rose with power to forgive us of sin. Not only did you rise and get with the Father, you sent back your Holy Spirit to help us. To help us live these lives as overcomers, as children of God. Because no matter when we were saved, we didn't change. But what changed was the internal Holy Spirit that he sent back. And if you're wrestling with that this morning, I want to ask that you would just come forward and And we're going to have our prayer team come up and pray for you, pray understanding, pray clarity over that. So prayer team, if you could come forward. If you don't know Jesus, the Jesus that we speak of this morning, I encourage you to come forward. And for those of us that are just struggling with identity in Christ, I'm having a hard time believing who God says I am. I also want you to come forward because our prayer team is going to pray for you. Haters are going to be haters. They are who they are. So if you need, if you encounter folks that are combative against you and you need encouragement and strength to combat those words, those thoughts, whether those other people are parents or teachers or whoever have spoken negativity into your life, and you need to arrest those spirits that have attached themselves to you, I want you to come forward. And then at this time, I'm going to release you. But again, if you need prayer, go ahead and come forward to all of our prayer team. They're waiting for you. So at your leisurely time, just let the word of the Lord continue to minister to you and come at your leisurely time. Amen. Is that all right? Everybody good? Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for just this time that you've given me to just marinate in your word and deliver the word that you've given me in this house today. Lord, continue, Lord God, to just have your way. Have your way in our hearts. Have your way in our minds. Take over, Lord God, so that the restoration that we have in Christ, Lord God, we live it because we believe it. We feel it because it's who we are, Lord. And we thank you, Lord God, for just every blessing, Lord God, that you've given us, Lord God. Lord, again, have your way that when people ask how we're doing, that our response would truly be blessed and highly favored. Amen.